You would turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. And we're going to begin reading today in verse 30. Parable of the mustard seed. It's pretty familiar, I think, to most folks. And we'll read down through verse 34. We've touched on verses 33 and 34. Earlier when we were talking back in the verses 10 and 12 about Jesus speaking in parables, we'll read all that today. So Mark 4, beginning of verse 30. Hear now this word of the Lord. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We pray that you would use this word now for your divine purposes, that you would use it to draw us closer to you. Lord, build up your church, we pray, in the most holy faith. Lord, encourage us, strengthen us, we pray, through your word. And our prayer today, Lord, is that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. What is the kingdom of God like? How shall we describe it? Well, Jesus answers those questions by way of the parable of the mustard seed. From our perspective, today, it is a parable that encompasses both history and prophecy. So look back and a look forward. Now the previous parables in this chapter have emphasized hearing and the work of God in bringing forth a harvest from some of the seed that fell in good ground and grown up and produced a crop. This parable, as I said, is somewhat familiar to most people. But this parable shows us the progress of Christianity. The progress of Christianity in the world. You know, Jesus came as Lord and servant to gather his little remnant together and make them heirs of the promised kingdom. We hear his words, like over in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. He says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That should be a great encouragement to us. But that kingdom had very small beginnings. Like Paul, for example, and his handful of associates setting out to take the good news of the gospel to the Roman world. Paul was a Jew, an ex-Pharisee. From all descriptions, we know he was a little man. He was bent over, probably from many of the beatings he endured. He had a big hooked nose, a weak voice. He wasn't a powerful speaker by any means, according to his opponents. But that's what God used to spread the gospel throughout the Roman world. You know, the kingdom has always had, it seems, in different iterations of its progress, small, even minuscule beginnings. Think about Martin Luther, an unknown monk in a little backwater town in Germany, that changed the whole face of Christianity for the better. Or think about a missionary like Robert Moffat, who landed in South Africa in the 1800s and began to proclaim the gospel to people whose language he didn't speak, and most of whom had never seen a white man. He traipsed all over that land with the good news of the kingdom. And we also know, in this kind of a backward look, that from the very earliest days, the word, the work of the kingdom, has not always been received warmly. Tertullian said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And indeed, that seed has been looked upon as insignificant in the grand sweep of empires and kings and nations that have arisen throughout history. You know, that seed began to be spilled very early on. Stephen, shortly after the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord. And that continues even to today. Today, people in places like India, Bangladesh, you know, Indonesia, Africa, Christians, those who are proclaiming the word to their neighbors, are being martyred. They're being killed for daring to say that Jesus Christ is the way. And these are just tiny little blips, tiny, tiny little blips in history. You don't even know their names. In the history of the world, they're insignificant, nothing. But truly, they are the seed of the kingdom of God that has filled every continent in this world. Now, the plant to which the Lord refers here is probably the black mustard. The Brassica nigra is the correct botanical name, but it's grown for oil as well as for use as a condiment, and it could grow to a height of over 9 feet, but the seed is very small. It takes 700 of them to make a gram. And it's this contrast, this is the Lord's point, this insignificant, minuscule beginning and the impressive final size to which it grows. That's really the thrust of Jesus' illustration here. The seed is tiny, but we must not make a judgment about the potential based on the size of the seed. The same thing, Jesus implies, is true of the kingdom of God. During the sowing, during the stage when the kingdom is being planted, the beginning of the pronouncement of the good news, it's not very impressive compared to the glory of, say, Rome or Egypt. Here's an itinerant preacher named Jesus of Nazareth, who wanders around a small country in the Middle East proclaiming the good news. You know, you must really make a leap of faith to believe that what Jesus says about himself and the kingdom of God is true. It doesn't add up in the world's view. But just as God transforms a tiny seed into a plant that's 9 or 10 feet tall, what God will accomplish through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ will be just as, well, I shouldn't say just as, no, it will be even more extraordinary than that. The kingdom of God was present in the world in the ministry of Jesus, but it was concealed. It was hidden from most. The religious leaders misjudged it. Jesus' own family missed it. And so many of the regular folk, even those who saw the miracles, even those who ate the bread that Jesus made, even those that drank the wine at the wedding that he made, even those that heard the preaching of Jesus couldn't see it. They wanted something more. They wanted something that was show-stopping, something that was messianic, at least in the way they perceived that the Messiah would be. But rather than rolling over everything in its path, rather than being defiant and aggressive, the kingdom of God seems lowly and humble and vulnerable even. You know, the seed is subject to adversity, to rejection and loss. You know, the signs pointing to God's reign in this world appear in the eyes of the world to be very humble, even as it's growing, even as the kingdom of God grows, even as the church grows into a big tree, it's still not really that important in the eyes of the world. That's why so many overlook it and ignore it, underestimate its power, and especially reject its claim on their lives. The work of the kingdom of God in this world doesn't make it on CNN or Fox News or any of that stuff. The things in which God is working seem of no consequence to the outsiders, to the world. But we can be certain of this, that God's kingdom is advancing in this world, even when we have trouble seeing it, just as it was in the ministry of Jesus, just as it was in the ministry of the early church, indeed in the ministry of countless saints through the ages. Most of them are unknown, unheralded. It may be met with ridicule, hostility, and attacks of varying degrees, but God is at work growing and advancing His kingdom. It's growing. But just like the mustard seed, once it's planted, once it's growing, the kingdom of God, the church, would grow and increase in size. This is a beautiful picture that the Lord paints for us here. After the ascension of the Lord, you know, we see about 120 faithful followers. A tiny, tiny fraction of the people in Israel. You know, there were thousands of people that followed Jesus. Thousands of people showed up for the free food. Thousands of people showed up for the healing. But after the crucifixion, we've got about 120 folks, dedicated followers. It's a tiny little piece of the Roman Empire. It's minuscule. It's smaller than a mustard seed in the scope of the Roman Empire. But within days, there are 3,000 more. And a few days after that, there's 5,000 more added to their number. And then it grew remarkably in Antioch and Ephesus, Philippi and Corinth and Rome, in Europe, North Africa, Asia Minor, spreading over the whole Roman Empire. But that's only what Jesus promises here. This is only what Jesus prophesies here by way of this parable. From this little seed, a plant would grow. Its branches would spread out and dominate the garden of the world where it was planted. You know, if we allow this to speak to us today, we see the confidence that we can have. Even though at times the kingdom seems to be small or weak or not advancing. But the truth is, it's still growing. It's still working to produce the harvest that God has ordained. We live in a time between the sowing and the final consummation of God's kingdom. We live in between that time. And it's easy, I think, to get discouraged sometimes. It's easy to think that the Spirit's not working. But we can be certain that the kingdom of God is at work. It's growing in ways we do not know, ways we do not see. The same way we've used this illustration over the last weeks in these various parables. But you put a little seed in the ground, and you don't know what's going on there. And then one day there's a shoot, and then it's bigger. And then for long, we'll have some tomatoes to eat. You know, this is the way it works, but you don't see that. You don't know what's happening in that. And, you know, in God's kingdom, as it grows, it's not subject to some kind of empirical verification or some mathematical formulation. It comes almost unnoticed. But it's growing. And it's filling the earth today, even as we speak. In places around the world, the kingdom of God is growing by leaps and bounds. It's said that they need 10,000 pastors in Africa today. There are that many places where people need someone to take the word of God to them. The church is growing, even if we don't see it here. And the church of God is not finished growing. You know, in spite of the growing attacks, in spite of the growing apostasy, even in some of her branches, and the weakness in other branches, it's still growing. It's extending its branches all over the world. And the branches are so big that the birds of the air find rest there. They can build their nests there. They can rest in the shade of the branches. You know, there's a similar description. Pastor Haley read you one from Ezekiel. There's a similar description found in Daniel chapter 4 of Nebuchadnezzar. He has this dream about a tree. And in Daniel's interpretation of the dream, he said to the king, he said, King Nebuchadnezzar had grown great and strong, and your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. Indeed, the dominion of the kingdom of God extends to the ends of the earth, and it spans all of human history. Nebuchadnezzar was brought down by God shortly after he received that dream because he would not humble himself. Nebuchadnezzar's gone. Babylon's gone. But the kingdom of God is still here and still growing. And it has gone out to the ends of the earth. And the birds can nest in the branches. What was once a tiny seed, a little seed that the bird could have eaten so easily, they can now rest in the shade of that plant that grew from that seed. You know, this imagery continues the emphasis on the size and growth of the kingdom from apparently insignificant beginnings. What do we see here? What do we see here for us? Just this, little flock. We should resolve never to despise any movement or agency in Christ Church because at first it looks weak and small. You know, we should take heart. For the word of the Lord here is not finished. The king and head of the church is coming to take himself to himself all power and all dominion and to put down every enemy. And his kingdom will be over all, and his people will be secure in that kingdom. I want to offer another observation about the birds, perhaps. And let me say, as I say that, it's not necessary in a parable to offer an explanation for every single item in the parable. That turns into an allegory. But the birds here are really just an indication of the size of the plant that grows. It's big enough for birds to rest in it and make their home in it and so forth. It's just an indication of the size of the mustard seed, that the mustard seed grows to. But you remember a few weeks ago, in the parable of the soils, the parable of the sower, Jesus used the birds himself as a negative force. He said the birds were Satan himself, snatching away the word. And there may be a warrant here for thinking about the birds as perhaps the false prophets, the worldly and the false professors, the Christians in name only, who come and make their home in the church. You know, we know from the history of the church that at different times in the history of the church, during the time of Constantine, you know, early times in this country, even in our recent history, 50s and 60s and so forth, the church was a popular place. It was a place to be, a place where association with the church was something to be desired for prestige, for profit, for publicity. Every politician comes to church during election time. That was the case. It's just something to think about in addition to the main theme of the parable. The agents of Satan who are unable to snatch away the seed, and the seed grows, they later come and nest in the church when she's large and successful. But anyway, back to the certainty of what Jesus sets forth here. Let's not be like Zechariah 4:10 says. He says, don't be the one who despises small things. That is, small things in the hand of God. The mystery of how a tree grows from a tiny seed points us to the mystery of how God accomplishes his purposes in this world. Often unseen, silently, mysteriously. You know, one conversion of a Christ-hating Pharisee was the beginning of the evangelization, the spread of the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. One conversion today may be the beginning of a revitalization of the church. One well-spoken word of God's truth may be the beginning of a life of service to Christ that changes the culture and changes the society for the better. History is replete with examples. God uses small things to accomplish his grand divine purposes. But what's needed is faith. Faith in God's promises. Faith in the gospel. Faith that the power of God will inevitably bring a future triumph and a final culmination of God's reign. It takes faith to see how God is working. It takes faith to see how God exalted the cruelty of the cross, that terrible, awful tree, so that people from every tribe and language and nation can find protection and everlasting home under the outstretched arms of the one who hanged on it. And from that terrible, shameful event, which was just proof in the eyes of the world that the one crucified, there was nothing. A common criminal, a blasphemer, less than a mustard seed in importance in the eyes of the world. From that event grew the kingdom of God that filled the whole earth and that will fill the new heaven and the new earth with all those who put their faith in Christ. They will make their home there with Him. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for Your almighty power that works in ways we don't see and know, and that takes the most inconsequential, unassuming, weak, small things and turns them to glory. Lord, how we thank You. We pray that You would encourage us as Your church and Your people. Lord, when we look at ourselves compared to the world, compared to the problems, the things that we face in this world, it seems there's nothing we can do. But Lord, what we can do is be faithful to You, put our trust in You, and obey You, and look to You, because what You have planted is growing, is maturing, and will one day be exposed to all. It's Your glorious kingdom, the home of righteousness, the home of Your people, the home of Your elect, the home of all who put their faith in Your Son Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Lord, the world doesn't see it. They reject it. They laugh at it. But it is growing, unseen, for centuries and centuries. And Lord, the fruit is there in heaven, even now, gathered around Your throne. Lord, a number that no man can count. Scripture says from every tribe and language and nation and people, it has indeed filled the whole earth. And Lord, we should be encouraged and strengthened. We should look forward to what we can do and what we must do in Your strength and obedience to You. Lord, small or not, help us as Your people. Lord, insignificant perhaps, no more insignificant than many You've used in the past. But Lord, You've used them for Your divine purposes, and You've used them in glorious ways. Lord, may we be encouraged. Lord, may we do this and look to it for Your glory and Your honor. And Lord, we pray that You would strengthen us in this, equip us, encourage us, we pray. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.